and welcome to Relevant Talk with Athalia. Today we have Beverly Williams, the author of GPS to Employment Success, How to Find and Succeed in the Right Job. How are you doing today, Beverly?
I'm fine, Athalia. Thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, Ms. Willen, thank you so much for accepting my invitation. Beverly, can you give us a little bit of background on how you got started and like your history?
Well, you know, my employment journey has been very eclectic. My mother worked for what was then Verizon. Back then it wasn't Verizon, it was the telephone company. And the telephone company was known for moving people along and promoting them. And it was a way, an opportunity for women, especially women, to move up in a corporation. And my mother wanted me to follow in her footsteps, but I had other ideas. Okay. I went to college. I went to graduate school. I got a master's in public administration, and I worked in the public sector. And then I worked in... Before I worked in the public sector, after I graduated from undergraduate school, I worked in for an insurance company, a Fortune 500 insurance company. And then I went to graduate school, and then I worked in the public sector for a large municipality. Then I went to work for a large state university, and then I went to work for... a large urban school district. So that was my public sector work. And that was great because I had gotten a master's in public administration from the University of North Carolina. So I was, you know, my career path was synergistic with my graduate degree. But then I went to law school, and I went to law school at night while I worked a full-time job.
Which was
interesting, but I did fine. I did well. I made law review, and then I went to work for the Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court. I clerked for him for a year, which is what judicial clerks usually do. And in some instances, it's 2 years, but in my case, it was a year. And then I went to work for a large national labor and employment firm, and which was great because that's what my focus was, labor and employment. So my mother wasn't unhappy with the way I was moving along, but I still wasn't working for the phone company, and she thought that that would give me the best opportunity to have a secure life working for a company that had a reputation. It was solid. She knew what it was like. But that's not what I wanted to do.
But you know,
I never regretted it.
And you know what, Beverly? I bet you that your mom was proud of you nonetheless.
No, absolutely. I was doing what they thought was the right thing. You know, I was going to school, and each time I finished whatever curriculum I was engaged in, I moved on to another opportunity, and it was always moving up. But I was always focused. I'm an A-type personality, and I stay focused, and I tend to be organized. And besides, I wasn't married. I didn't have any children, so I could focus on that. I could focus on going to law school at night and working a full-time job. It wasn't easy. But one of my law school friends, in fact, we studied for the bar together, she was married. She didn't have children at the time, but we would go between each other's houses and study. And her husband was very understanding because this was, you know, like the next step. And it was just very rewarding. So I realized that I had an employment journey that was not like other people.
Definitely.
You know, I worked for a Fortune 500 company. I worked for a large national law firm. I worked for a large school district, a large urban municipality, and a quasi public entity. So I had a unique perspective. So when the recession came in 2008-2009, and I was watching television and I was seeing, you know, reports about people losing their jobs, and men who, and women, but especially the men who had been able to take care of their families all of their adult life, they never found themselves in the position they were in. They were now, or at least then in 2008 and 2009, unable to take care of their families, and it broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so they was like, but they were going about trying to find a job the wrong way. You know, they would get up in the morning, get dressed, and get on the computer and go through the job posting. And the best way to get a job almost any time is to network. Mm-hmm. You know, you should look. I'm not saying don't look at the job postings. Don't apply that for jobs that way. But people who know people who know people recommend people. And that's the connection. You make the connection. And when the connection is made, you can't afford to mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to bring your A game.
True.
You've got to be on. You know, and you've got to be prepared to impress. That's important. You have to make people want to help you because of the way you present yourself. Because, you know, one of my friends, and I use this phrase a lot now because I think it captures what we want to convey, what is necessary to convey. A friend of mine said about one of my young friends, she has a nice way about her. And that's what you want people to say.
Right.
She has a nice way about her. He has a nice way about her. Because you want to convey that you're the type of person that they would like to work with.
Right.
That would add value to the work environment. I find, at least in my experience, in the work I've been doing, there's a lack of civility and respect in the workplace.
That's very true.
I don't let people disrespect me. That's not how I'm built. You know, I treat people the way I want to be treated, and I think it's unacceptable in my mind for people to treat other people disrespectfully. It's too easy to remove yourself from a situation. If people are behaving inappropriately, if you don't like the way they're behaving, leave. If I say something to you that you don't like, you can tell me.
You
know, I don't
that.
Mean to offend. Perhaps I did offend, but you're not going to talk to me any kind of way. You're not going to call me out of my name.
Right. And
I think that a lot of times that happens. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. No, I'm saying I agree with you, and I know this from personal experience, and I wholeheartedly agree with you when you said that if, you know, the work environment, for me, person speaking, is toxic, leave, you know, especially when there's a, especially when that's the norm.
And you
have
know,
to leave.
I don't know, because I'm not in the workplaces that I visit on a consistent basis. I don't know that it's the norm, but I do know that it happens, and it shouldn't. People should not be hollering and shouting at people. And I mean people at all levels, the CEO, the vice president, the janitor, the you know, the technician, the IT people, whatever. Nobody should be speaking to each other. They shouldn't be speaking to each other in less than a civil fashion. You don't have to disagree. You don't have to agree. You don't have to like each other. But there should be mutual respect.
True.
And I find that there is. I've witnessed that there isn't. And I've been in workplaces where people have tried, employees have tried to treat me in a fashion that I found unacceptable. And They drew conclusions about me because of why I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't let them do. I work too hard for my professional reputation, and I don't let people diminish that. I work too hard for it, so I correct them in real time. And many times they're surprised because they're not always challenged. You know, some people just have a tendency to take it.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. I've witnessed it and I've experienced it. So I know exactly what you're referring to. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's sad that people of a certain age and of a certain professional level tend to act like that. But that's just how it is. And like I said, I've worked somewhere where it's the norm. It's like certain
unfortunately,
get...
you're right.
Right.
But I find that even people, employees in other, at other levels, I think it's almost become pervasive. It's almost like a cancer. It spreads.
Yeah. That's true. And I'll say another thing, Beverly. It's what I've witnessed in certain workplaces, it's easier for other employees when they're seeing wrong done. It's easier for them to play that go along, get along game as opposed to standing for what they know is right. And I think that that happens because they are afraid to be on the receiving end of whatever it is they're witnessing.
That's true. The other thing, and I learned this as I was promoting my first book and as I was trying to gain traction and exposure to spread my message and my call to action, everyone is not capable of standing up.
Okay.
They're not built that way. That's not their personality. You're right. They're afraid that someone may clap back at them, but it's just not in their DNA.
Right.
And whether it's social or cultural, there are some people that are just meeker than others, and that's just who they are. And I try to respect that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect everyone to stand up the way I do. That's just the way I was brought up.
Right.
I think my father was afraid that a man would take advantage of me. You know, when I was born, he wanted a son. So when I was born, he cried. And he must have cried because he was afraid that someone was going to take advantage of his little girl. So he would, you know, I remember being in the crib and him telling me, you know, people take kindness for weakness. Only the strong survive. And I'm a strong person. I am a strong woman. And I make no apologies. But I know after living as long as I have that everyone isn't. And it doesn't mean that they should be victimized.
Well, yes,
but it happens.
It happens a lot. It happens way too often.
It does. You're right. You're right. What can we do about it? Can we do anything about it? How do we stop it? That's something for us to work on.
That's something for us to work on, and I think it starts from the top.
Yeah.
I think it starts from the top because they have the power to stop it, to discipline employees and, you know, to do something about it. Where other employees don't feel intimidated for standing up, speaking up for themselves, or for not going along when they see others doing wrong.
There are probably policies, company policies against bullying. But
they're not
the higher-ups
a lot.
Don't always see what's going on.
Right.
It's almost like... after 9/11, if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
If you see someone being treated inappropriately, say something.
Yeah. And an insurance company that I worked for, I actually went to the vice president of administration and told what I witnessed because of an employee was unfairly fired, and he did not have the opportunity to defend himself. And I didn't think that was right. So I reported what I saw to the vice president of administration. And then he,
good for you.
Yeah. And then he told me to share with the HR manager what I shared with him. And so I made an appointment with her and I told her what I experienced. I mean, what I witnessed. And I told her that that employee, because the employee, he was a temporary employee. And even though he wasn't permanent, I still feel like he deserved a chance to say, yes, what they reported about me is true, or this is why I did it, or no, what they're saying is not true. He never had the opportunity. He was replaced. And I didn't think that was fair. Even though he was a temporary employee, he was still human, and he came and he did his job, never bothered anybody. That's what I witnessed. I've always had a positive experience with him, and I didn't know anybody else who hadn't. But there are people who...
did they hire him back?
No. He probably didn't even want to come back. I don't know the situation after that. I just know that
at least you spoke up. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. But you know what? Then I became the target. And then I had somebody ask me if I would do it all over again. And I said, yeah, because not enough people speak up. And I understand why they don't speak up. They're afraid that they might become the target or the outcast. And
there's always that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that possibility. And yeah. What you did was risky, but sometimes you have to stand up. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be the person you are.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be your authentic self, whatever that means, as long, hopefully it doesn't cost you your job. But how do you live with yourself otherwise?
Right. And that's the thing for me. It's like when he was being bullied, there were people who were laughing, and I didn't think it was funny. Everybody, we're all adults, and he didn't deserve it. Like I said, he sat directly behind me, and I never witnessed him bothering anybody. He showed up for work on time every day, and he did what he was paid to do. And he didn't deserve what happened to him. And like I said, even though he wasn't a permanent employee, he still should have had the opportunity to defend himself, and he didn't get that opportunity.
You know, unfortunately, life isn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to wrap your head around that when we're brought up to believe in fairness. And it doesn't always turn out that way. And it was easier for them to get rid of him
mm-hmm.
than to even conduct an investigation.
Right.
And he was a temporary employee, a temporary mm-hmm. person.
Right. He was temporary, but he was still human.
It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's very tough. But you did, yeah. I salute you. Everybody
you.
Wouldn't have done what you did. In fact, everybody didn't.
Everybody didn't. And that was one of the most disheartening, well, not that part. What was the most disheartening thing for me was the laughter. And he didn't deserve it. Like I said, he never bothered anybody. Never bothered anybody. He did everything he was supposed to have done. So
things there must have been a reason they targeted him. The people who were laughing. Well, there must have been a reason for that laughter.
Well, knowing what I know, that's just how they are. And that's why I said that that's why I made the comment that it happens way too often, and certain people get like a slap on the back of the hand. And so it, like, things like this, you're asking what can we do about it? How can we stop it? It has to start from the top.
Because let me say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, but let's not forget one of the most important situations in the workplace are relationships. You don't know who knows who. You don't know who's related to who. You don't know who's sleeping with who. You don't know a whole lot. And when I say you, I'm using that generically.
Right.
Relationships are important. People skate by on misconduct, engaging in misconduct, and get away with it because of their relationship with power brokers in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we're not privy to those relationships, the identity of those relationships, but they exist.
Okay.
And they're powerful.
What you're telling me is very eye-opening and makes a whole lot of sense, and I never thought about that.
The advantages in my work experience is I have advised C-suite executives, CEOs, vice presidents, CFOs, all manner of corporate officers. I know a lot of their processes and procedures. I know how they work. I know how they, as they say, how they roll. And they will ask me, well, this is what I want to do. Can I do it? It's not a matter of whether it's legal or not. They're only asking me if they can do it. Will it cause the company any problems? Is it illegal? You know, they may ask me if it's illegal. If it's not illegal, they want to do it. Maybe it's something I wouldn't do, but my role would be to say yes or no.
Right.
That's really all they want from me. But people, you know, I hear, for example, let me give you this example because this is timely. A lot of employees are saying that they don't want to return to the office. They want to continue to work from home. And I find that very interesting. And I understand that they don't spend money on commutation. They don't spend money on meals outside of the home. If they're, you know, if they're working at home, they can grab something from the kitchen, from their personal kitchen. They're not cleaning their clothes. It's just cheaper for them to work from home. And depending on the age of their, and the behavior of their children, they may even be able to have their children at home.
Yeah.
And so they might not have to pay for childcare. So they could save a lot of money working from home. And so they will say, and I've read this. I haven't had any personal experience from clients telling me this, but their employees are saying, I don't want to work from home. I'm not coming back come back to the office. And some employers are saying, okay, you don't have to come back to work. We'll let you work from home. But what's going to happen in some cases, I'm not saying all, employers are going to be annoyed that you've taken this position, and they're going to let you work from home until they find somebody to replace you at a lower salary.
Wow. I'm glad you touched on this because this was one of the questions I wanted to ask you about, your thoughts about.
That's the way I see it. I know, first of all, they don't want everybody to come back because there's some employees they don't want to see anymore. They didn't like them before the pandemic. They don't want them back. So now if they're going to stand up and say, well, you know, I don't want to come back to work. I don't want to work in the office. I want to work from home. Okay. Well, I want you to come back to work. No, I don't want to come back to work. Okay, well, you can work from home. You work from home for a month, maybe two. And that third month, oh, we're reorganizing. We're reorganizing the way we do the work. We don't need your position. We're going to lay you off.
Wow. That's something to think about.
Oh, it is. And it happens. And it's legal. They can reorganize their workplace unless they have unions that if they're unionized, that might be an impediment. But otherwise, they can get in a room and say, here are the organizational charts. Figure out how you want to restructure this, reorganize all these worker functions. This is what we have now. We have 10 people now. I want this to go down to 5. Or take it up to 15 and make them smaller, make them earn less because it's their lower positions. There are all ways around it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
People will be without jobs. People will be without jobs. And that's another thing. That's my call to action. People need to think differently about their careers and employment. When I saw a documentary and there was a robot flipping burgers, I couldn't believe my eyes. Now, if robots are flipping burgers, what's next? So people need to pay attention.
Yeah, because according to the news reports, there are a lot of employers who can't get people. They can't hire people because people aren't ready to come back to work.
Of course they're not. It's summertime, and they're still getting unemployment.
Right.
So they're ready to go. They're ready to go to the shore, to the Hamptons, to Cabo, to Martha's Vineyard, mm-hmm. to Nantucket, to the lakes, wherever. They want to have some fun, and God knows I know. I'm ready for fun myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's timing is everything. And I'm afraid that based on the fact that so many people have been hesitant to get vaccinated, I think we're going to have a problem come fall. So people and people are running around now, especially the unvaccinated people, they're running around and what? They may have COVID come fall because they're not vaccinated. The CDC is concerned about variants and they're just out and about having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So we may not be in a better position come September, October, November. But those people who say that they're not going back to work, and I don't know that they will find another job that pays as well as their job pays.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question is, even if the company says you can stay home and work from home, and they let them do that, but they want to reduce their salary. But their expenses are lower.
That would be fair, though, I think. That would be fair.
They won't want, nobody wants to give back money. Nobody wants to give back money, I'm telling you.
Well, you can't have your cake and eat it, too, so you have to make
but that's,
a decision.
Why would you have cake if you can't eat it?
Right.
Why have it? No, I'm telling you, I've seen the movie. They're not going to want to give that money back.
Well, it's either give the money back or stay at home and take that pay cut. Either or.
I'm inclined to believe that people are not going to be as receptive to that choice.
Oh, I'm sure they won't, but they have to be understanding.
I may be wrong.
Well, I guess maybe every situation might be different, but you might be correct. They may not want to give that money back, but like I said, it's one way or the other. And I think it will be fair if they say, okay, you can stay at home We'll allow you to stay at home and work, but we undercut your salary by X amount of dollars.
Well, you know, there's another thing that this predates COVID. Mm-hmm. Employees who were there, because people were, some people were, some employees were working remotely anyway. Businesses wanted to reduce their real estate footprint, so they had people working from home. What they found is that their vacation costs, expenses went up. People weren't taking vacations. They weren't taking vacation days. They were working from home, and they would go to lunch, long lunches with friends. They would, whatever they wanted to do during the day, while they were supposed to be working. Now, they might do their job. They might make up the time later on in the day, but they weren't using vacation time. So if they decided to leave the company, they were leaving with more vacation due them, vacation pay due them, than they would have ordinarily. And companies were finding that their vacation expenses were increasing at an undesirable rate.
Wow.
That's another problem.
That is a problem.
You know, you don't think about that.
Uh-uh.
I didn't think about that. And that's another thing. One of the tips I have for your listeners, wherever you work, whatever you're working at doing, make friends in other departments.
Yeah.
Because you do not need to only have the information from your department.
I agree.
You need information from other departments, because information is power, and information is important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a friend of mine was in, what was the name? Finance. She's the one that told me about the vacation time. She says, oh, you should see, it's terrible. It's outrageous. It's gone up exponentially. And it makes sense. You can get up earlier and do your work and then spend all day out and about, and not use your vacation time or your sick time, or if you have paid time off, so that it's all lumped together. You go to the doctor, you don't take a PTO day to go to the doctor if you're working from home. I'm telling you.
You're making some really good points, things that I never thought about before, and things that I wasn't aware of.
You need to make a friend of an HR person, and hopefully it will be a good HR person, a competent HR person, because all HR people are not created equally. You want to make sure that you have friends in every department, every department possible, because it's you get a different perspective about the company that you work for. You know, if you have lunch with these people, if you have coffee with these people, they talk about what's going on in their department. You talk about what's going on in your department. You learn things. It makes you better informed. It really does.
It does.
In fact, I had lunch with people I worked with 10 years ago. And each one, three of them were from the same department, and I and another woman were from the same department. And there was one person was missing. She couldn't make it. And she was from another department. And we talked about all manners of things. It was very informative.
Because you all are sharing knowledge. And experiences.
Right. But only one of us. One was a corporate officer. One person was still work for that's the same employer. But it was still information. I have a sex discrimination case that I'm working on. And one of the people that I was talking to was just the person, the type of person I needed some information from for my case.
Mm.
Talk about being
in the right place at the right time.
That's right. Glad I came to lunch.
Beverly, I'm really enjoying talking to you, but we haven't talked about your book yet.
Well, my book is Your GPS to Employment Success, How to Find and Succeed in the Right Job. And quite frankly, my first book, I was very proud of. It was self-published. I was very proud of it. A publisher saw it and wanted me to ask me if I would consider updating it and bringing it into, because it was written almost 10 years ago, to bring it into into the present time. And that's really what I wanted to do, because so much had changed, but so much had stayed the same. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to update it, and that's what I did, and I reorganized it because I realized that in the first book, although I addressed it, it was in the wrong place. People, it's important, and I can't stress this enough, it's very important that before people begin a job search, they come up with a plan. A daily plan, a daily schedule, so that they exercise, they schedule time to eat healthy, however many meals they decide to have, and they get their mind straight, their heads right. You know, they want to make sure that they're moving into this journey in the right state of mind, because it's going to be arduous. You know, you may send out 100 resumes, and you may not get an answer to not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not define you. Mm-hmm. But it may make people feel a certain way. They may feel that, well, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have what anybody wants. I'm never going to find a job. Don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
They should answer you, but they may not. And if they don't, it means nothing. You keep plugging away. You have to be persistent in looking for a job. And if you feel compelled to send in resumes in response to the postings, the job postings you see, do that. But you need to get out and about to the extent COVID permits. If COVID is not permitting, then you need to go online. LinkedIn is an invaluable tool. If you've gone to college, look for alumni who are in positions with companies that you'd like to work for. If you haven't gone to college, see if you can find people that graduated from your high school. If you didn't graduate from high school, see if you can find people on LinkedIn who have interests that are similar to yours and connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them about their companies. Go online and look at the company's websites and see get information from that. Ask questions. What questions can you ask a person that you don't know that will give them the impression that you're not only interested in working for the company, but that you would add value as an employee?
Mm-hmm.
It takes work. And that's the other thing I want to convey. It's a job. You have a job. Your job is looking for a job. And it's not easy. It's not easy. And it's time consuming.
It's time
consuming.
But
you can't let it define you.
Mm-hmm. It is time consuming and daunting. But like you said, if you're consistent, continue to focus on finding that employment that you want. What's meant for you, you'll get it, as long as you're doing the work.
And that's it. You're right. What's meant for you, you'll get, but you got to do the work.
Right.
You really, there's no other way. If you don't do the work, and networking, I can't even tell you, There's a chapter in the book, Networking is Your GPS to Employment Success. It's the truth. And you know, another thing, I have my website is www.youremploymentmatters.com.
Okay.
My podcast is you can access my podcast on the website. All that material is free. I've interviewed almost 50 people about their employment journeys, and it's just been amazing. There's a wealth of information in those podcast interviews, free of charge.
Yeah. You, I think you're awesome. And this information and this talk that you've shared with me and my audience today is very valuable. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people. Yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of people who's going to benefit from it because you are as real as they get. How can you not appreciate that?
I have no children, no biological children, but I have godchildren and nieces, and I have a niece and a nephew, and mm-hmm. my godchildren and children that have adopted me before I could adopt them, and. Okay. I'm not their parents, I just tell them how I feel. I don't mince words. You know,
that's
they'll say, oh, I'm Beverly, I did such and such and such and such. You're going to be so proud of me. I said, you tell me what you did, and I'll be the judge of whether I'm proud of you or not. Because, it's like, I know these people. There's no telling what they've done.
But you know what? Being like that is the best thing for them. Because,
you're right. You need somebody like me in your life. Mm-hmm. You really do.
Yeah.
You know, and these are trying times. One of my my oldest friend's daughter transitioned to be a male. He's transgender. And he was afraid that his mother's friends and family would feel a certain way. And I told him, I've known you since you were born. There is no way I could turn my back on you. Mm-hmm. You're not that kind of person. I may not, if I didn't like what you did, I still couldn't turn my back on you. My mother had Alzheimer's, and she was in the hospital for a period of time. And this young person worked at the hospital, and he and his friend checked on my mother around the clock to make sure she was cared for.
Mm-hmm.
I was in and out of that hospital on the regular. But I knew I could sleep at night because I knew they were looking in on her.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing he could do to make me stop loving him. And he did a podcast interview because he wanted to talk about what he was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just there's so many people of all ages, all ethnicities, races, all cultures that are going through things. And finding a job, having work, being able to support yourself and being contributors to society, all that's important. But they have other challenges, and they need to know that they have support. And mm-hmm. my children know that I support them, but I'm going to tell them what I think.
Yeah.
And, like I said, you know, they're not going to listen to me most of the time until they mess up. See, they don't listen the first time. And I know that. Mm-hmm. But I know when they mess up, they will come to me because they know they can.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work it out. I mean, two of my godsons are ex-offenders. They're twins. They did a podcast interview. I want to make sure that ex-offenders read my book so that they can better prepare themselves to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And get promoted after they get one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for corporate donors to buy the books, to donate them to underserved communities, urban and rural and ex-offenders, urban and rural communities and ex-offender populations, socioeconomically deprived communities, because everybody can't afford to buy the book.
Right. And it's valuable.
So if you know anybody, tell them to get in touch with me.
Absolutely.
Plus, I'm going to send you a link. I need people to vote for my book because it's been nominated for the Reader's Choice Award. Mm-hmm. And I would like for people to vote for it. Your GPS to Employment Success, How to Find and Succeed in the Right Job. I will send you the link, Athalia.
Okay, thank you. And I would definitely share it on my social media accounts.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think what you're doing is great. And like I said, what you have to offer is very, very valuable. It's invaluable and it's necessary. And
I think you're right. Let me say one other thing, because I didn't say, we need to think more collaboratively. We
mm-hmm.
need to have collaborative ventures with friends, family, and like-minded people.
Yeah.
Because you have a job, you may have a 9-to-5, but you can help and contribute to another entrepreneurial enterprise.
I agree.
That may blossom into something that will mean that you can quit your day job and go to work for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do that more.
We do need to, and it's not enough of that going around, but whatever support, I love supporting people, whether I have a connection to them or not, because it doesn't cost a thing. And you're not only helping that person out who you're supporting, but the people who you're sharing that information with, you're helping them out as well. And for me, that's what it's all about.
Nothing comes into your hand if your hand is clenched tightly. You
mm-hmm.
keep your hand open, you give to people, you support people, and your blessings come to you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that.
I know this to be true.
I know this to be true. So do I. So do I.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Beverly, where can we order your book from?
You can order the book on Amazon. It's the best place. That's the most cost-effective place. That's where I tell people to go. It's also available on BarnesandNoble.com and on BusinessExpertsPress.com. But Amazon, you get the best price. If you're anyone interested in buying a large number of books, someone ordered 100 books, and the publisher gave them a discounted rate.
Congratulations on that sale.
Yeah, I was thrilled. Well, you know, my first, if, and anybody who's listening who is going to have a conference or an event, please consider giving your GPS to Employment Success as a gift to all the participants. You would get a very good discount for that. I sold 1,400 books for a dinner in D.C., 1,400 mm-hmm. books for the first book.
Wow.
And that was a self-published book. I sold about 2,500 copies of that book, but 1,400 was for that one event. So if you're a fraternity or a sorority or a church and you're having a conference, some kind of large event, and this is something that young people, older people, seasoned individuals need.
Yeah, it's definitely a must have. Beverly, like I said, you're doing a great job. I appreciate you so much for sharing your knowledge and your experience with my audience and me. I'm excited to see what
Anytime.
You do next. I'm really excited for you.
As you can see, I can talk.
Yes. But you know what? I love it. I love it. You have such great insight, and you're very informative. And like I say,
I've got opinions.
Yeah. That too. That too.
Got opinions.
And I look forward to receiving that link for you so I can share it.
Thank you so much.
We can all support you.
I so appreciate the opportunity. And let's stay in touch.
We are, definitely. And Beverly, is there any more tips you would like to give, or any other, like your website address you'd like to share with us?
Okay, the website again is www.youremploymentmatters.com. Another tip, let me just go over what I said briefly. Stay informed. Stay informed about the industry you work in. Stay informed about what's going on in your department. Stay informed about business generally. You need to stay informed about concepts like artificial intelligence, critical thinking. Just look at Forbes magazine, Entrepreneur magazine. You can get them in the library. Go to the library and just spend the day reading business magazines. Try to always have a positive attitude. As one of my godchildren said to me, "Godmother, no one wants to help a person with a bad attitude." And I thought about that, and I said, you know, you're right. Try to maintain a positive attitude. It may not be easy, but it will be beneficial. Okay. Also, when you network, don't always ask for something. You've got to ask because you're the one in need. But try to create situations that are win-win. Suppose you ask a friend's parent. You and this person have been friends for years. You know their parents. Mrs. So-and-so. Mrs. So-and-so happens to be an HR person. Well, go and ask Ms. So-and-so if she can help you. Will she look at your resume? Can she give you some contacts that you can reach out to in the hopes of getting a job interview? Ask her what she recommends and see what you can do for her. If you can't think of anything you can do for her, buy her some flowers. You can go to the grocery store and buy her some flowers. Or if she likes plants, buy her a plant. They don't cost that much in the grocery store. But try to create win-wins. You don't always want to be asking for something, having your hand out. You want to create win-win situations.
All right.
And network, 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 and then network some more.
Awesome. Thank you so much for those tips. Again, I appreciate you so much, and I can listen to you all day long, honestly.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed this so much. Usually I'm the one doing the interview. This was so nice.
I did truly enjoy it, and like I said, I really enjoyed it, and I think that my listeners will benefit from everything you've shared with us today.
Wonderful. All kidding aside, I feel very passionately that people are not paying attention, and they need to change the way they think about their career, their job, their employment journey. They need to be more proactive about it, more engaged. Don't let things happen to you. Make them happen. If you make them happen, it'll be the things that you want to happen.
Right. Well, thanks again, Beverly.
Thank you. I look forward to talking to you again.
You definitely will. And enjoy the rest of your week, and enjoy your 4th of July weekend as well.
And you do the same. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.